Good evening. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me to speak this evening. Those on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list are the most violent and dangerous fugitives around. They are charged with various crimes, including murder, drug trafficking, racketeering, armed robbery, arson, and kidnapping. The FBI considers them so dangerous that it is offering rewards totaling several million dollars for information leading to their arrest and our conviction. The 10 most wanted fugitives are truly very dangerous people. But the most dangerous person does not appear on the FBI's most wanted list. That person is Satan. This evening, I would like to discuss the enemy of Christians and all mankind. The term Satan is a Hebrew word meaning opponent or adversary. The Bible refers to Satan by various names. Some of these names are descriptive of what he does or about the nature of his character. Some of the names include the devil, the serpent, the tempter, the enemy, and the accuser. The accuser is an interesting term. Satan stood before God and accused or slandered a righteous man named Job. Satan claimed that Job was only faithful to God because God had blessed Job abundantly. God allowed Satan to test Job. Job proved Satan wrong. He remained faithful to God despite all the suffering he endured at the hand of Satan. The term accuser is also mentioned in the New Testament in Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." Satan accuses or slanders the saints before God. Other names for Satan include the evil one, Beelzebub, or the ruler of the demons, unclean spirit, Lucifer, the great dragon, the serpent of old, and Belial. Belial is often used in the Old Testament as a term for Satan. It is a term personifying all that is evil. In the New Testament, Belial is only mentioned once in 2 Corinthians 6:15. In this verse, the Apostle Paul asked the rhetorical question, "What harmony has Christ with Belial?" Of course, they are directly opposite and opposed to each other. In Christ is everything that's good, while in Belial is all that is evil. Jesus said of Satan in John 8:44, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." We probably will not encounter any of the dangerous criminals on the FBI's most wanted list, but we will be tested by Satan. For the lesson this evening, I've given it the title, Our Adversary, the Devil. I will be reading from the NASB. The Bible calls Satan certain names to denote his domain. Prince of this world, ruler of this world, the God of this world, and the domain of darkness. The domain of darkness means spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness means animosity. Animosity or hostility toward God and man. Lies, deception, evil, and wickedness. Spiritual darkness is the opposite of the nature of God, who is love, truth, goodness, righteousness, and light. Proverbs 4:4 warns us not to choose the path of evil. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. It goes on in verses 18 and 19. To contrast the path of the righteous with the way of the wicked. Verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Satan, through his lies and deceptions, tries to entice us to stumble and fall away into darkness. The only way out of the darkness is through Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13-14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where did Satan come from? Some verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament give us some insight. Isaiah 14:12-14. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Revelations 12:7-10. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Satan is powerful, but he's not nearly as powerful as God, the creator of all things. First Colossians 15:16 tell us that Christ created all things. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The firstborn of creation in verse 15 means the first one resurrected from the dead. This is explained further in verses 17 and 18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Satan does not have the power of God. He does not have the power of omniscience or omnipresence as God does. Satan was a heavenly being. He was created upright, but he was lifted up with pride and rebelled against God. He and his followers were cast out of heaven and thrown down to the earth. We don't know when he was cast out, but he was on the earth at the time of Adam and Eve. Satan is so filled with pride that he wants to be equal with God. Verse 14 of Isaiah 14, I will make myself like the Most High. Satan's fate is sealed. He and all who follow him will be cast into hell. Verse 15 of Isaiah 14, you will be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit. Satan and his angels know they are doomed for eternal punishment, but they want to take with them to destruction as many persons as they can. Satan is crafty, deceitful, deceptive, cunning, and very subtle. In the Garden of Eden, Satan took the form of a serpent to tempt Eve and deceive her into disobeying God. It says of him in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which God had made. Lying and deceit are two of his most prominent characteristics. He uses these traits to entice us to sin. Satan's domain is this world, and he uses the things of this world to tempt us. The things of this world are not necessarily bad in themselves. At the creation, according to Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But man also was created with free will to follow God or to follow Satan, to choose good or evil. Most of mankind throughout history has chosen evil. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Satan tempts us to misuse the things of the world for evil rather than for good, as God intended. We all face temptation by Satan. It's part of the human condition. When Jesus came to the earth in the form of human flesh, he was tempted by Satan. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. The apostles were tempted by Satan. Judas was overcome by Satan and betrayed our Lord. Luke 22:3. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. He was sorrowful for what he did, but he did not repent of his sin. In Luke 22:31-32, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter was overcome by Satan and would deny our Lord 3 times, but he repented and would become a leader among the apostles and boldly proclaim the gospel in the face of strong opposition, even when it meant being thrown in prison and beaten. The apostle Paul was hindered by Satan. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. "For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. So we likewise all will be tempted, tested, and hindered by Satan." One of the biggest enticements Satan uses against us is our pride. Pride in our own self, or in our ability, or in our worldly wisdom, or in our possessions, or pride in something else of the world. Shortly before Peter denied the Lord, he was filled with pride in his own ability. When Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26:31, "You will all fall away because of me this night," Peter boasted in Matthew 26:33. "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." 1 John 2:15-17 tells us the things of the world that Satan uses against us. "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." We are engaged in a battle with Satan. It's not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. Our battle with Satan is a battle for our heart and mind, or for the seat of our affections. Both God and Satan desire that we submit to and serve them. We can submit to and serve one or the other, but not both. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The New King James Version says, in place of wealth, "mammon," meaning the things of the world. Proverbs 23:7 says of man, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." The New King James Version says, "For as he thinks in his heart." If we allow Satan to capture our minds, to dwell constantly on worldly things, we will act in a worldly manner. If we deliberately and purposely seek the Lord to do his will, we will be able to overcome Satan. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:1-2, where our minds must be focused if we want to please God. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 sets forth the weapons that God has given to Christians to overcome Satan. If you have your Bible up this evening, why don't you turn to that, and we will read these verses and discuss them, and then the lesson will be yours. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We can't let our guard down and give Satan an opening. We have to put on the full armor of God, it says in verse 11. Three times in this passage, Paul tells us to stand firm. Verse 18 warns us to be on the alert. Satan is very persistent and determined foe, and he is determined to destroy us. In our scripture reading this evening from 1 Peter 5:8, the Apostle Peter says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Hebrews 3:12 through 14 warns Christians, brethren, of the peril or the danger of unbelief that can cause us to yield to the deceitfulness of sin, turn away from God, and be lost. Verse 12, Hebrews 3. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become a partaker of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Verse 14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." I should note that if I haven't already, that in these verses, Paul likens these weapons of spiritual warfare with the armor of a Roman foot soldier would wear to defend himself in battle. The Roman soldier wore a sturdy belt to carry his sword into battle so that he could fight the foe. We have to have a love and a deep appreciation of God's word to counter the lies of Satan. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." John 17:17. The more we study and learn about the word of God, the better we will be able to distinguish between truth and error. If we don't have a love for the truth, we will be deceived by Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-11. "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false." Only if we believe and practice the truth can we be saved. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier would put on a breastplate to cover his torso and protect his vital organs in battle. We must set aside our old way of life when we lived in the practice of sin and put on the new way of life in the practice of the righteousness of God. Ephesians 4:22-24. "That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Verse 15, "Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The Roman soldier wore very sturdy sandals that protected his feet and ankles so that he could march over difficult terrain to war and to have a secure footing during the battle. On our journey through this evil world, we are going to face battles with Satan along the way. We must prepare ourselves with a firm foundation or an understanding of the truth of the gospel. This will enable us to overcome Satan, to encourage our brethren, and to share the gospel of peace with others. Paul writes in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." The shield of faith. The Roman soldier used his shield to ward off the spears and arrows and sword thrusts of his enemies. We can have victory over Satan if we hold fast our faith in God, whatever our circumstances, just as Job did. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The one who overcomes the world, who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Again, from our scripture reading, 1 Peter 5, verse 9. Peter speaking of the attacks by Satan. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. The helmet of salvation, verse 17. The Roman soldier wore a helmet to protect his head in battle. The helmet would have to be securely fastened, or it could be knocked off in the heat of battle, and he would suffer serious injury or death. When we obey the gospel, our sins are forgiven, and we have the hope of salvation. We must hold on to our faith and hope in God to the end to reach our heavenly home. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Roman soldier used his sword to fight the enemy. We can counter the lies of Satan with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, in 2 Timothy 3, 13 through 15. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he would twist and distort the scriptures. Jesus, at each temptation, would quote the truth from the Word of God to defeat the lies of Satan. Prayer, verse 18. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 were men and women who prayed regularly. Those like Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Job, David, and Daniel spent much time in prayer. Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, also set the example for us. He spent much time in prayer. Peter tells us in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. By way of invitation this evening, if you have never obeyed the gospel, you will have that opportunity in a moment. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and to confess Him before men, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, baptized into Christ, into His body, the church. Then you can begin your walk of faith. And if you hold fast till the end, you will inherit that heavenly home with Him. Won't you come as we stand and sing?